So the last couple weeks, I've had the opportunity to go and try to catch up on some things here, catch up on things at the house. And somebody asked me, "How you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm still catching up from vacation." "You took another vacation?" "No." I said, "I'm still trying to play catch up. There's just no catching up from vacation. I don't know what it is." But one of the things I have noticed, I started noticing it in the spring, particularly around the fields around my house. And then Angela and I went for a walk the other day. And God had already been stirring in me some things. And we were just walking this huge field. It's like 123 acres. And we're walking back through there, just looking at things. And I just started looking around at all of the rocks. Big ones, small ones, some of them that their combine caught and drug for 50 feet. And it's like there's rocks everywhere. Well, in the spring, the guy who owns it, he had a rock hound, and he went through one of the other fields. He's got a huge pile of rocks that he picked up. I think he'll be doing this field this spring. But this field has just got all these rocks. Now, in the spring last year, I went out and picked up what I could because I've got a project in mind. And I just sat there and looked and just kept looking. I'm like, I picked up two or three trailer loads of rocks last year. And look at them again. Just from the spring to the fall, there's all these rocks. And I mean, there's so many that I got picky. I'm like, nope, it's got to be pretty. It's got to be speckled. Got to be pink. Got to be blue. Got to be green. Got to be orange, whatever. Tons of sandstone. And so anyhow, I'm going through there, and and Angela and I were talking, and I just said, God's just really been showing me more and more how much we are like a field. Matthew chapter 13 talks about the sower. We'll talk about that here in a second. And he's equating us to a piece of ground, a field that's planted. And as I'm looking out through there at all these stones, see, today's equipment isn't quite as susceptible. It's still susceptible. You can still damage your equipment pretty good. But back in the day, they used to break plows. That's where John Deere got his patent on. He made a plow that was harder to break. But they still break them. Rock gets sucked up in a combine, it can start bouncing around and do some bad things to it. And so the farmers try to get them picked up. And I know a couple years ago, Bob and Karen they had found a rock. Oh, well, let's get this rock. And they went out there. The rock was a little bit bigger than they thought, because what they were seeing wasn't all of it. And so, but in this field, there was all these rocks. I mean, a lot of them are like this big. They're big enough to cause problems. But over in the waterway, I found rocks like this big. I've been in that waterway with the four-wheeler before, and it's like, those rocks were not there. Those rocks were moved by all the floods we'd had. They'd ended up down in there, washed out of the hillside, and there they were. And the Lord's beginning, he said, this is exactly how people are. He said, those rocks represent things in our lives. And through the freezing and the thawing, the working of the ground, and just the pressure of the earth itself, it squeezes them and pushes them right up and out. And God knows that. And those things are things in our lives. Some of them could be hurts. But before I get any further, I'm going to go ahead and get to the scripture. Matthew 13, verse 3, it says, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, we'll get back here to the stony ones. It said they fell on stony ground. There was obviously a little bit of dirt underneath them, around them, and the plant could take root. But if the ground is too stony, you don't get the crop. Where my uncle lives down in West Virginia, pretty much hay is all they can grow. That's, he's like, man, he's, we don't have the corn fields, the bean fields. He said, hay is about all we can grow, grass. Because when you take off that 3 inches of red clay, it's rock. And if they want to do anything, they have to bring in dynamite, jackhammers, and blast it away. But in us, this stuff breaks up. And it works up. See, I've told you for years, God does not come in and just take everything out of your life all at once. You got to let go of it. See, the earth has to give up those rocks. Those rocks can keep holding on, but eventually they got to come to the top, and they will work to the top. That's the nature of this planet. It's always pushing stuff back up. And we might, where'd this come from? It was always there. How many of you here lately, in particularly, because I know I have, you're like, God, I thought I was over that. I thought I dealt with that. I crucified that dude. How did he come back alive? Because I didn't fully deal with it. God let me put him down, nail him, bury him back there, but I didn't deal with everything regarding him. And so when I don't deal with everything, I resurrect him. I have to put it all. And so that's, you know, I've been growing myself on this, working through it. The Bible tells us all that that's what we do. We work from one degree of glory to the next. We work out our own salvation, our own. I don't work out Miss Brenda's salvation. That's her job. Paul said, we work out our own with fear and trembling. Lord God, I can't believe I acted like this. I can't believe I thought I was past that. Why do I hate that person? I don't hate them, but yet I feel such animosity towards them. That's because you still got something. There's still a little bit of a rock holding. And as long as it's there, it's just going to keep being a problem. You know, the farmer, he can keep running over top of that rock with that big old tractor or combine, keep smashing it back down, but eventually it's popping back up. And it might go through the combine. It might take out a wheel on the drill. It's going to cause a problem eventually. And in our lives, those things that we think we've gotten past, the things we've, oh, I'm grown. I'm past all of this. I'm up. I'm running. Whoop. Where'd that come from? It was always there. You just pushed it down. So you can keep shoving it down. It's going to come back up. I think Randy Stonehill did a song back in the day called Under the Rug. What's that stench? What do I smell? Oh, it's all the stuff I put under the rug. It's out of sight, out of mind. No, God says it's in my sight, always has been. I'll deal with it. I'll work it up. Why? Because he wants us to be righteous as he is righteous. Well, I'm putting on his righteousness, absolutely, but he still makes you deal with the problems. You still have to deal with your attitudes, your sin. Well, I do not. Then why are you such a grumpy grouch all the time? Why are you so negative? Why do you want to kill yourself? That's why. You're fighting. You're fighting God. That's the problem. God wants these things out of your life, and you're holding on to them. Here are some signs of a hardened heart. Exodus 7:13, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not listen to Moses just as the Lord had told him. He hardened his heart even after seeing a miracle of God. The rod that Aaron threw down became a serpent. Janus and Jambres threw theirs down too. That was their name, the magicians. They threw them down. They turned into serpents. And Pharaoh's like, see, we can do the same thing. Except Aaron's turned around and ate theirs. And it said, after that, he hardened his heart. After watching what just took place. You got to understand, if you've ever seen the original Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, it was a cobra that Aaron's turned into. I've always loved. I think cobras, I mean, I know a lot of people do not like snakes. I'm not going out handling them. I don't play with them. but I've always thought the cobra was the boss. And that snake went down and it turned into a cobra and people, hey, oh, time out, Jack. And I believe the other two were asps. Both of those species of snakes are highly worshipped in the ancient Egyptian culture. As many pharaohs you'll see, they had a cobra on their crown and its hood was flared. That's what always amazed me. I never could get the one at Columbus to do it. Come on! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be pecking that. He never would flare up. He just lay there, dummy. But to see that cobra flare up. See, and the Bible just says that, and Aaron's ate theirs. See, I believe what Aaron threw down was a king cobra. Not just an Egyptian, but a king. King cobras are about 18 feet long. You want to get a good idea? And they can get about that big around. They're massive. The asp, they're a little quicker. And they're deadly. So there would have been a fight. God won. And even after God winning, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He wouldn't believe the word of the Lord because of the hatred he had towards the Hebrews. Pride and self-sufficiency. Proverbs 28:14. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. I can do this. I got it. Let me tell you something right now. You ain't got Jack. God wants us to be confident. I do believe, okay? God, just stay home. I got this. You're about to get your butt kicked. The Bible says, with Christ, I can do all things. Not, you just stay home. God, I got this. No, I got to have him. I got to have him every day. I got to have him to wake up for my next breath. Why do we think that as believers, we can just go off and do whatever we want? God, you just stay home. I don't need you in this. I'm going to deal with this how I want to deal with it. Yeah, you're dealing with it in the flesh, and guess what you get in the flesh? Corruption. But if we let God lead us, we let God work on us about getting this stone. This is another, these are stones. These are the things that are the stones. All those stones are made up of all little different things, different colors, different sizes. But yet they're made up of these things. And it's all hardening of our heart. And you get the word right here. See, here's the sad part. If you don't deal with some of this stuff today, the very word I'm speaking to you today will grow. There'll be rejoicing. And some, those who are self-sufficient, I didn't get jack squat. Smile. You're allowed to. Unless that was you, I just nailed. If you don't take this and deal with the stones, the hardness of your heart, it's going to grow up. It's going to start, yes, oh, hallelujah, I'm starting to see victory. And then when the heat comes, the heat of the day, guess what's coming? Heat of the day. Because the devil knows you got word in you. The devil knows that there's a root that's growing. And he don't want it to grow. He don't want you to deal with them rocks that are underneath there. It can't get down there and get it. See, the rocks also let the moisture go right on past. And the plant doesn't get it. It just keeps right on going. There's no soil to provide nutrients. And so the plant dies. So the very word of God will die if you don't deal with this stuff. Resistance to God's conviction, Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Listen, I had somebody once tell me, he's praying for me. And I was like, okay, you're laying hands on me. He's doing this. Don't resist, heart. First and last time I ever took a courtesy fall. I wasn't there to embarrass him. It was also the first and last time I was ever in a meeting with him. Oh, sounds like you're judgmental. No, I really just don't want to. Brother, you go your road. But don't you ever try to push me down again. I won't ever, I've never, not one person can ever say, well, Pastor, I fell because you laid your hand. Yeah, I didn't push you down. I'm not moved whether you get slain in the spirit or not. Because if you're moved by that, the Bible says an evil generation seeks a sign. That's the sign the Holy Spirit's flowing. No, lives changed is the sign the Holy Spirit's moving. That's just God working on you. I've been slain in the spirit, legit. I even doubted it. God, this is all a bunch of hooey. I'd been around it since early on. And, you know, I could see people, you know, their head, they're twisting their heads. Quit resisting the Holy Spirit. That's not resisting the Holy Spirit. That's resisting you pushing them over by their forehead. So God dealt with me one time. He done me dirty. I say he done me dirty. This was the height when we were starting to learn about the Holy Spirit more and more. The man's name was Gabriel Hamans. He was from South Africa, and God sent him here to preach about the Holy Spirit. And we were over here in this section of the sanctuary, and he's up here preaching, and he just starts going down there with his jacket. You all saw Benny Hinn do it, right? Everybody, oh, that's fake. That's what I said too. Whew, that section went down. Whew, that section went down. He got over here, and I'm like, I dare you. Whew. The section went down. Everybody fell backwards except me. I fell forward onto the concrete floor. I said, okay, God, I give. That hurt. I bounced my noggin off. I mean, it didn't hurt bad. If you understand, that could have hurt. But God broke through something in me. I didn't resist God anymore. I can't think of Brown. Anyhow, he preached the same message. He's from Australia as well. Rodney Howard Brown. We were in D.C. at a meeting. He did the same thing. Angela and I are standing right over here, and he comes right down. And he was a big man then. I mean, he's about Richard's height, but he was big. And he came down off of that, and he didn't even touch us, and he just did that. And whoop, there we went. But I'd quit resisting the Holy Spirit in that sense. But when people start pushing me down, that's not resisting. That's flesh. Resisting the Holy Spirit is when God is saying, and the Holy Spirit's saying, don't do that. Just stop. Listen. I ain't got time to listen. I gotta act. No, you don't. Sit still. Just wait. Don't get crazy. You know, Richard was sharing with me about an accident that they saw last week. If you guys had been traveling faster, you'd have probably been up right beside him. May have been involved in it. But as it was, they were able to slow down, move over, and get around it. People got out to help. When the Holy Spirit's just saying, just settle in, chill out, do it. When the Holy Spirit says, you know, you're going to have to forgive them. There's our number one. It always goes back to unforgiveness. Which brings us to the unrepentant attitude. Romans 2:5. Because of your hard and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves. Again, the Bible is written to you and me, not the unsaved. He's telling the church, because of your unrepentant heart, because the things that I say you don't want to do because you don't like it. I would just as soon be a jerk all the time. I would just as soon tell people exactly what I think all the time. I'll be lonely. I like being around people. Gets awful lonely when you're a jerk. But I'm going to hit something real quick before I left. He said, the last one from Acts 7:51. He said, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts. Circumcision only involves one thing, does it not? I'm going to try to not get juvenile. It is an extremely sensitive part of a male body. Thousands of nerve endings. So it's very sensitive. When God had Abraham cut that covenant with him to remove that circumcision, it exposed the most sensitive part of a man's body. And Luke was recording down in here. They said, you have an uncircumcised heart. You have flesh over your heart. In other words, the works of your flesh, the things you won't let me in. You want the things that you want, and that's all you want. You don't want to bless other people. You don't want to pray for those who are lost. You would rather sit and complain on Facebook about the other party as opposed to praying for them. You would rather complain about the people with multicolored hair as opposed to pray for them. Let me help you out. Jesus died for them. Even if they were the only one, he had died for them. Just for the opportunity. I don't say I agree with them. I don't have to. See, that's the part of maturity. I don't have to agree with somebody on something. We have several people in here who like the Steelers. Others like the Browns. Some like the Bengals. Me, I don't give a rat's furry bottom. I wasn't going to say it. But I got you. I don't really care. It's a game. What I care about now is people's lives. What are you doing with the Word of God? Well, my Bible, it's sitting right there. Open it up and read it. How hard is it? It was written on a fifth grade level. It's not that hard. But let's understand something. To decipher it properly, you need the Holy Spirit. That is exactly what that word says. Because so many people have misinterpreted it, and now that's why we got people thinking they can prophesy when Jesus is coming back. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. It's enough of that. All right. So the unrepentant attitude. We store up things. Reality is, we think we're getting away with it. I'm going to hold them right there in unrepentance, and I'm not going to forgive them. I'm just going to forget it and move on. You can't just forget it. You actually have to actively forgive that person. If you don't, you're storing up wrath. The Bible says wrath. We've seen anger, right? Anybody in here never seen anger? How many of you have seen real wrath? I mean, somebody goes off the deep end. Yeah. A few of us in here know what. And the reality is, I won't ask you to show your hands, but how many of you have crossed that line? And you realized it. Now imagine that in your life from the powers of hell coming after you. Because you're storing up. Because you won't forgive. And by the way, denying that something happened is not forgiveness. It happened. Things that happened to me, they happen. I won't deny them. But they do not define me. I refuse to let them define me. Do I have to deal with some things? Absolutely. Do I have to keep walking in forgiveness? Absolutely. I have to forgive people every day on certain things. I have to forgive people who let it happen. But that's a choice I have to make every day. So you have to continually be in a mode of forgiving. They close their eyes to God's miracle. Matthew 8:17. Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Jesus is talking to the disciples. They're in a boat. He just recently fed 5,000 people. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee. It takes a little while in a boat. It's not huge, but It's big enough that when you're rowing or waiting on the wind to blow, it's going to take you a while. 12 guys, 13 guys, including Jesus, they got one loaf of bread among them. I can hear it now. Peter, did you bring the bread? No, I told John to bring bread. I told Matthew to bring bread. So we just start blaming around. And probably here's Judas. I got a loaf. I don't know who had it. One loaf, 13 guys. And they're complaining about it. Who did? And Jesus looks at them and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, do you still not believe? Did you not remember I just fed 5,000 people? Men. That's all it said was men. Remember, the estimate was probably 15,000. I just fed a large bunch of people with five. Why are you fighting amongst yourselves over this? Do you still not believe? Our lives, when we see something happen, we had better start doggone believing. When you see things happening in the world, you had better start believing the Bible's real. I can't imagine a level of delusion that people can see things happening and they still deny it. Jesus wasn't real. Then tell me why for the last 2,000 years have people trying to shut up Christianity. Tell me why for most of those years our system of dating has been based around his life. And it's only been in, I don't know exactly when they changed it, but they went BCE. It's no longer before Christ. It's before Common Era. And I mean, honestly, I really don't care about that because in reality, he was born before BC, but but we have got to look at it and people still deny. Well, let me see your Jesus. He's represented in me. He's represented in you. How are we reflecting Jesus? Are we not supposed to be the reflectors? We're supposed to be that light in this world. But if our hearts are hardened, our hearts are full of rocks. God, that's my precious. Look, it's a pretty green one, Lord. Look at that. Let me tell you something about them pretty green ones. Some of you that mess around with rocks, you know this. The green ones, the orange ones, and I think there's pink. Green, orange, pink. Yes. That's the only three colors I've seen here. When I worked in a quarry, whenever we saw a green, orange, or pink rock, we were to throw it over, no matter its size. Now, we'd usually take a rock this big, we could crush it. But if we had a rock that big and it was green, orange, or pink, or blue, there's a blue shade, they're the hardest rocks in our area. They're super heavy, and they will break the $50,000 aside jaws. $100,000 to buy new jaws just because you let one rock go through. You want to guess how they found that out? They had to spend $50,000 to replace a jaw. And so we just throwed them over. Now, I've got a nice orange one. I've got a green one. And I think I found several other smaller green ones. But they're really heavy. So that means they're more dense. They're harder to get through. Well, I'll break it up, Lord. No, you won't. Get rid of it. Now, dullness toward God's word, Matthew 13:15. We just was reading about the stony ground right here in 13. He said, for this people's heart has grown callous. They hardly hear with their ears and they have their closed their eyes. They refuse to see the truth. They refuse to hear the truth. Why? Because they don't want to change. They've grown accustomed to having this pain. People get addicted to the pain. I could ask you if you know anybody, and I can about guarantee you everybody's going to shake their head yes. One, some people grow accustomed to being the center of attention. It defines them now. And the second you stop it, they throw a fit. They go off the deep end, but you start giving a little attention and they come right back to where they were before, but they aren't any better. They won't listen. And that doesn't mean the actual making those three bones vibrate and stuff inside your ear. Listening means obeying. My wife has this thing. She says, let me see that. Anybody see what I'm doing? Let me see that. You can see with your eyes. Do you have eyes in your fingertips? You don't need to take it from me. I'm showing it to you. She's not here to... She knows. I tell her this all the time. I said, that is not seeing, but it's not what she means. She says, let me contact it. Let me have knowledge of it. Let me feel it. Let me touch it. That's what this word listen means. It doesn't mean just hearing those words as you're hearing me. It means hearing those words and obeying. She could see it, but she wants to have a revelation of her own about it. Oh, let me look at. Oh, yeah. What am I looking at again? How many times do we do that? God, what did you say? He said, obey me. Forgive. Senseless hearts. Ephesians 4:18. They are darkened in their understanding because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. People don't understand because they have a hardness. No light's getting in there. You're not getting the word. See, seed has to have light. It has to have heat that's generated by that light. It has to have the water. It has to have everything proper. But if you grow a seed in the dark, it's not really going to grow. The seed dies. That's why you go in a cave. There's no vegetation. I think the farthest down in a cave I've been is 300 kilometers. So right around 1,000 feet down. And guess what? There was one without the artificial lights they put in. There was no light. And there was no vegetation. Nothing was growing. And most anything that lived down there was blind. They didn't need eyes. They felt their way around. They had senses. But we become senseless. We can no longer discern properly either. Mocking God's messengers. In 2 Chronicles 36:16, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets. People that are speaking the truth are being mocked. And they're being mocked by those who are trying to draw themselves, you unto them. I heard a guy talking about this the other day. He said, here's how you can tell a false prophet. We always just look at him, a false prophet. You know, they give a prophecy, it doesn't come to pass. The reality of what a real prophet is somebody who's speaking the word of God. That's a real prophet. And sometimes there is what we call a prophetic utterance. But he said the number one indicator that they are a false prophet is they are drawing you to them, not you to God. They are building their own fold. They're trying to build we'll call it a ministry. I don't care if you're huddled up. Yeah, as a pastor, I now understand both sides of this fence. But I'm not drawing you to me. I want you to go to God. I wasn't kidding when I said, we don't have any prayer requests. That means you're praying. That means people are praying at home. Doesn't mean that you didn't have a burden coming in here. It just meant you prayed and you believed God was going to do something about it. That's what it means. It means I might be doing my job. That's the role of the fivefold ministry, is not to draw you to me, but you to God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I will lift Jesus Christ up, and he will draw them unto him and the Father. But if we're trying to build our own little armies here, you know, I got my generals here, I got my captains, and 99% of the time, the people that are talking this garbage never served a day in the military. I got one person there quoting Sun Tzu. How many of you know who he is? Five or six of us. The Art of War. Guess what about Sun Tzu? Today, it don't mean diddly squat. But yet we got preachers trying to preach it who never served in the military, and they don't realize that's not the war we're in. And those tactics don't work with the devil. Warfare has changed. Totally changed. The face of warfare has changed, particularly since Vietnam. Korea, they at least had an idea who they were fighting. Vietnam, they had no idea. And today, we're not any better. They don't wear uniforms. They put their kids and their wives in front of them. So tell me exactly how that, I don't even know how old it is. Is it 1,000 years old? It's old. Yeah, 1,000 years ago. Guess what they didn't have 1,000 years ago? Machine guns, bombs. Anyhow, somebody's going to get mad about that. But we're no longer, we no longer truly have respect for those in those positions. So they start making fun. They start, when somebody is preaching the truth, they belittle it. I'm reminded of Elisha. He just watched one of the greatest miracles. He watched his mentor be taken up to heaven and what they described as a fiery chariot. I laugh because we never hear about horses. We just hear about the chariot. And I've read Ezekiel. And I'm like, sounds to me like God might have some rocket power to me. Because that's the same way Enoch went up. And anyhow, whatever it was, left fire, and he watched the man that he followed go away. He goes back to town. Hey, where's Elisha at? We want to talk to Elisha. He's gone. Well, where did he go? Have I got a story for you? And they just stood there in disbelief. They couldn't take anything from him. And so they ran him out of town, and he left. He's on his way, and a group of young boys come out there, and they're chasing him down the street. Go up, Baldy! That's modern-day version. If you want the King James, go up, thou bald head. Go up! You go up! Come on, let's see it! Go! Go! Elisha didn't turn, curse him. And God sent 2 female bears. And they came out and mauled them. And yet Israel still didn't turn their hearts. Why? Because they were hard. They didn't want the truth. So they mocked the messenger. Clinging to sinful ways, Zechariah 7:12. The prophet Zechariah spoke of individuals who made their hearts like flint and would not hear the law or the words of the Lord of hosts had sent. They harden their heart because they don't want to hear. When I tell people quit shacking up, I mean it. You want God on your side? Quit living with each other. Put God first. That's what I mean. I said it. It's what I mean. Because you want God's blessing. He made you to be a husband and wife. Then do it. But you're not going to have the blessing in your life without living by God's word. I tell people, you know what? I've had so many people arguing the tithing message. I don't tithe because of law. I tithe because, one, it works. I'm like, God, I don't know how this is working, but it's working. I remember Pat. He says, I started learning all kinds of stuff about where to invest, where not to invest. And he's like, it makes no sense to me, Art. But he said, I'm going to tell you right now, I tithed off of that and turned around. And I wasn't even planning this, and it happened. So, they'll testify. Many people in here will testify. Well, why do you tithe? Because it's an honor to God, because we took his fruit. That's what the tree represented in reality. It was what was God's. It was the first fruit. Get it? The first fruit. And here we have all the other fruit we could eat. We could eat all the bananas we wanted. They didn't have spiders and snakes in them. all the pizzas we want, and the pits wouldn't hurt us. We could eat everything. God, you stub your toe, you need healing. Well, there, God had herbs. He put them here. You go, chew on that piece of leaf or whatever. God had all that, but we lost it all. Then we started creating drugs to get high. We create drugs to control our moods, our blood pressure. And a lot of this has only come about because we now have chemicals that we have to wonder, what exactly are they doing to us? I was talking to the neighbors the other day. We were just talking about preservatives that are in our foods and how many we've eaten and the problems we have probably because of us. Yeah, I said, since I was born, pretty much food's always had preservatives in it. And I said, I won't have to see a mortician. Just change my clothes and lay me out because I'll be well preserved. Especially with all the bologna I've eaten. So we cling to our sinful ways. We don't want to let go. We want to continue going to places God said, where am I at? The Bible says, do not have any association with the works of darkness. No association. But yet we do it all the time. Disregarding God's urgent warnings, Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you get mad at me, it's on you, not me. All I did was to show you God's word. I didn't twist anything. I didn't make it about me. I made it about God. He's trying to call his people back. The Bible says he's coming back for a people who are without spot and blemish. What he called spot and blemishes, as the Apostle Paul put it, were the people in the church who were living in sin. They're spots and blemishes. Now, well, we got to get rid of them. No, we got to clean them up. We just sang the song, will we let our brother die? That has been the attitude of the church for most of my life. Cast the sinner out and shun them. We are holy. Yeah, that's right. You're holy, huh? You know, I saw you coming out of the adult bookstore, right? Saw you at Dirty 30. Had to throw that one in there. Joshua, he's like, I said, I hate going up there, Dad. He said, when the truck breaks down, when they were going up to Crawford, he said, that was the only place they could pull off the road that I could fix the truck. It was at Dirty 30. And it, if you don't know what it is, it's gone now. So, but it's like, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in the parking lot. Then why is it we have half of some praise teams that look like they were dancing at Dirty 30? Why is it that we're trying to impress the world with our freedom? You know what real freedom is? No clothes. But we're not going to do that, are we? Because we're not here to offend each other. Amen. Hallelujah. No. We're not here to cause one another to sin. We're not here to embarrass each other. I saw a picture of myself from last year. I was like, man, I picked up a couple pounds since vacation. I just can't get rid of them. Joshua was like, Dad, let me show you a video from last year about this time. Oh. Yeah, maybe that's why my britches were a little tighter. I said, yeah. I said, I know where I started, but I said, I'm guessing I was closer to 220. I'm still 40 pounds under that. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm not going to whine. Pants fit okay. They make them stretchy now. But freedom does not mean we can go and sin. I'm free from alcoholism. It was inbred in me from when I was little. I shared with you before. Mom and Dad thought it was cute. I'd finish off the last couple things of their strohs. They didn't realize until a little while later, I was walking around with my own beer. I'm 3, 4. They're like, oh, we got a problem. And I'd come up and finish their beer. So they smoked at times. So they started putting cigarettes out in them. I can tell you right now, I know what cigarette butts taste like. And it's bad. But the problem is the seed was already planted. It got in me. Carrie Livgren called it the whiskey seed. I could taste it. I could just get a smell and it would just do something to me. I'm delivered of that now. And because I'm delivered, I'm not going back. Why? Because you may have the same problem. And if you're drinking to cover a problem, you still got the problem, so let's talk about it. Get past this problem. Forgive it. Get it out. Well, I don't want to talk. All this talk, this nonsense, talky-talky stuff. It's so girlish. Oh, shut your pie hole. You want me to treat you like a Marine? I've made Marines cry, so let's go for it. I'll talk to you like a man. We have to talk. What do you think the Bible? Did we ever notice that they're always talking in the Bible? The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Johnny wears this shirt, F-E, how's it go? F-E slash F-E or F-E sharpens F-E. Yeah, iron sharpens iron. That's what it means, you're talking. How about the friends thing? You know, one falls in a ditch, who's there to pick him up? His friends. The country song, you don't know who your friends are until you're in trouble. That is the truth. Cut your toe off, who's gonna be there? All right, let's, after I order you an enema. They didn't give it to him though. But you see, these stones are things in our lives. Make sure I finished up. Yes. These things are in our life. God sees them. He knows they got to come out and we have to deal with them. Some things you can deal with. Other things you do have to sit down and talk to somebody. Just because you got to get it off your chest. I forget what it was the other day. I was like, I've got to get it off. I got to speak this out. And I spoke it out. And I was like, ah. I felt good. I spoke it to God. It was something I needed to take to him. So if you're ever in doubt, I need to talk to God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, a mother, a father. Moms and dads, we love you regardless, right? I got to get a drink. I'm drying out. We love our kids regardless of what they do, but sometimes we hamstring them because we baby them. Oh, but you're my baby. I don't want you to go there. Listen, mama. It out of his mouth. It's time for him to grow up. It's time for her to grow up. You're adults. We got to start acting like it. The worst thing that ever happened to the United States military is a little group called Mothers of America. Never heard of them until I joined the military. I don't want my baby seeing the war pictures. He's a United States Marine. What do you think his job is? To go out and put Band-Aids on baby seals? The United States military's job is to locate, close with, and destroy the enemy. Whether it's from the air, from the sea, or from the ground. That's it. And if we baby our boys and our girls, and they go into combat zone, and we turn around and we find them. I need my safe place. There is no safe place in combat. Spiritual combat's the same way. Sometimes you just got to be hands off and say, I love you, I'm going to pray for you. I don't agree with that. I don't really care if you agree with me. I'm not talking conjecture. I'm showing you what the Bible is actually saying about what we need to do. We have to grow up. He's not coming back for a child bride. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It doesn't mean we don't become childlike, that we remember what it was like to be made fun of, that we remember what it was like to be left out. It means we quit acting like a stinking child. You didn't get my way. It's my ball. I'm going home. I've seen that a few times on the playground. Why don't you throw the ball to me? Because you can't catch. Let's be honest. If you can't catch the ball, we're not throwing. We're here to play to win. Participation trophies were bad. We forgot to teach our kids how to win. Playing the game was enough. No, it's not. Now look at the NFL. We got players that are just awful human beings. They know how to play the game, yeah, but they're terrible characters. We have that in life. We have that in the church. Preacher's kids have no idea what it's like to actually build a church, taking over their daddy's 5,000-member church and abusing them. And we wonder what's wrong with the body of Christ. We lay hands on people too soon. We lay hands on children. Ministers who get saved, well, there's an anointing. Do you know there's an anointing on every last one of you for something? Every last one of us. Some of you might teach. Might actually be part of the fivefold ministry. I don't know. I know of one. I've got one in mind. He was a hellion. Got saved and he could preach. I don't think he'd been saved for a year. They had him out preaching. Wasn't too many years ago, he was found out to have been having an affair during a major revival in this country. Oh, pastor, you need to forgive. I do forgive him. I forgive the people that laid hands on him, told him, you need to go out and preach right now. No, he needs to grow up. Even Paul didn't run out instantly and grab his tent and let's go preach. He spent years because he had all that pharisaical teaching in him. If we're going to grow, we got to get rid of the stones. And let me help you out. You know where they're at better than anybody. The only person who knows better than you is the farmer. The one who's working your ground. The one who'll take those stones if you'll let him have them. And you know what he does with those stones? I'm going a few minutes long. You'll be okay. Give the Baptist church time to clear out of the restaurant. I love my brothers and sisters in the Baptist church. Actually, they might be there about the time we are. But he takes those stones. Look at Israel. Because we're also called the planting of the Lord, which is the vines, the grapevine. Remember, he talks about, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So we're part of that. So they, you know what they do? They clear out all those rocks. And they make sure it's got good soil that they can get nutrients back to it. They can get water. And they take them rocks. You know what they do with them rocks? They take them over and they build walls around the vineyard to protect, to keep the foxes out, to keep the little animals, the varmints that are eating all the fruit, to slow down the wind when it comes whipping across the plains, to protect the seed. But that was my pretty rock. Yeah, I know. See how green or blue it is? Now, just remember, that was keeping you from growing. God will take those very things that were destroying you and hurting you, and he'll show you how he'll protect you. And why? Because you'll remember what it was like to be abandoned. You'll remember what it was like to be made fun of. You'll remember what it was like to be mistreated, abused, lied to, whatever it was. You will remember, and you're just like, God, I really have moved. I remember the day Pat, he shared with me, I've shared this many times. He said, his ex-wife said, you've changed. He says, yeah, I don't hate you anymore. That's his words. He said, I don't hate you anymore. You know how that happened? The word. Taking the word, putting it in there, and starting to apply it. And I'm sure it wasn't exactly an easy road, but he did it. There's things in my life. Like I said, I didn't like people. None of you. I mean, I liked to be around people. Just didn't care. Now, I have to tell you, I care about every last one of you. God help me. But it's what he does. He helped me. I learned to forgive people. In my case, it was those in the church, and I mean the preachers, the elders, the hypocrites that preached one thing and they lived their lives another, thinking nobody saw it, how they treated everybody else. Those are rocks. I developed those rocks. It's my precious. Lord, look, it's shiny. Look at it. See how it changes colors. It attracts me and it keeps me, and I never want to let it go. Because it brings me comfort. Because I found my identity in that now. My pastor in North Carolina, they were praying, they were seeing miracles. His brother was blind. And he asked his brother, he says, "You want God to heal you?" He says, "I do, but I have a problem. I don't know how to see. I don't know how to live seeing. What am I going to do?" He said, "I'll stay blind." He was a little bit older than Rick, but he said, "I'll just stay blind." He chose blindness over faith in God. If God's going to heal you, he's going to provide for you. But he chose to stay where he is at because that blindness had become his identity. Depression is very real. I've gone through it a couple times, and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, now I have a little more empathy, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to lay down in your depressive mud and wallow in your pig swallow. That it ain't happening. Depression will kill you, and it'll ruin your life. And if you keep laying there and you keep thinking this is how it's going to be, no. I shared with you years ago that I'd walked out to the field to shoot myself. One deer slug, one shot. I looked down the barrel. God said, "It won't be like this forever." I took God's word. I picked that shotgun up, cocked that hammer, aimed at a tree, and let it go. Because I didn't listen to the devil that lied, that said, "There's no hope for you." I was 18. A few months later, I left home. God made me a man so I can tell people. I was going to do it. I know several of you in here that have crossed to that point. Let me help you out. It ain't worth it. That's forever. This situation's not. It will change. And I'm going to tell you right now, it'll change because you trust God. If you trust God and you listen to him and don't pull the trigger, he'll move. And you just got to be obedient when he tells you to move. That's just all there is to that. If we're not stiff-necked people and listening to what God says, he'll move. He'll make things right. I was lonely, unemployed. I got a job, got a girl, and the rest was 36 years later. Maybe 37. And now I have lots of brothers and sisters. People that I trust. People that I love. All because I chose not to listen to the enemy that day. Don't listen to the enemy about your life. Your situation will change. But you got to trust God for it. Amen? Let's stand. I would apologize for going long, but you know I really don't mean it, right? Because I'll never apologize for preaching the truth. And I can tell by the faces, y'all needed, some of y'all needed that. That's the great side of being on this side. I can see the faces. I can see those that are battling. And I know you're battling. And when God mentions you in my daytime, I pray for you. And I pray that he moves mightily. And I'm going to pray today that he moves mightily in your lives. Because a lot of you are facing some serious garbage. It'll change. But you just got to get through this day. You got to hold on. Well, tomorrow's not going to change. Tomorrow is a different day. You keep looking at it like this, tomorrow will never change. Until you start trusting God, tomorrow will change. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the changes that it makes in our lives. Father, I pray for everybody here today. Lord, I do know of situations. I won't pretend that I'm being prophetic. I know of many situations going on right now in people's lives and how the enemy is coming to tell them lies. Lord God, help them remove the foreskin off of their hearts, to become sensitive to you, to hear your voice, to obey your voice. I want to keep every head bowed. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus right now, slip your hand up. Gotcha. 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 Not going to gotcha. Okay. You can put your hands down. I want everybody to say this, but those that raised their hands, I want you to mean it the most. Father in heaven, forgive me. Forgive me of my doubt. Forgive me for my unbelief in you. I receive everything you have. Your forgiveness, your restoration, and your power. You made me the victor, not the victim. I thank you, Lord, for moving in my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And now, Father, bless your people today. Move in their lives. Lord God, I bless the workings going in, going out. Father, I pray that you open doors. You make paths straight in Jesus' name. Amen.